Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football exclusive.
Welcome everybody to another edition of the NFL Draft Bible's Draft Digest. We are 4 days away from the NFL Draft. It's our last pre-draft show. I hope you guys are excited as we are here. I'm your host, Daniel Moglione. Next to me is the Reverend Ralph Mancini. Reverend, how's it going this morning?
Yeah, I'm counting the days. I'm counting the hours. I am pumped.
And on the line, as always, is our scouting guru, Justin Van Fulpen. What's up, Justin? How's everything going there in Michigan?
Hey, it's going great, man. We can't wait for the NFL draft here.
I mean, everybody is pumped up. The draft is around the corner. All these weeks, all this talk and pontification and guesswork, it's all going to come to a head Thursday night. First time ever primetime on Thursday, 3 days, first round on primetime on Thursday. It doesn't get any better than this. It's made for TV, I think, and I think it's going to be a fun week in terms of the draft. I want to remind everybody, go to NFLDraftBible.com and order that PDF. You get the PDF, you'll get that, you know, instantly. You get it right away, sent to your email. You'll be able to download it, and you'll be ready to dive right into it. You know, we got 321 pages of profiles, features, interviews, putting all 32 teams on the clock. So go there now, right now, and get that PDF. Get ready for the draft. It's the most updated draft guide there is out there. It's like produce, baby. This is fresh off the tree. We don't take it off early like the other companies do and put a little, you know, red paint on it, red paint on those tomatoes to make it look fresh. This actually is fresh. All right, so get that. And folks, special today, special offer to our listeners out there. I have a question for you, and the first person to get this question right will get a free PDF from the NFL Draft Bible. That's right, a free PDF today. If you're able to answer this question correctly, you can call in with your answer, or you can jump in the chat room and give it there. And the question is, Mr. C.J. Spiller of Clemson, expected to be the first running back off the board in his career as a Tiger, scored 52 touchdowns. Now, that's not necessarily the most impressive stat. It's the amount of touchdowns that he scored that went for over 50 yards. How many is that? So of his 52 touchdowns, how many went for 50 yards or more? If you, the first person to get that answer, either on our line, 347-945-6275, or in the chat room, we'll get a free PDF, and we'll keep you posted if anybody answers that question. And we have special guests coming on later in the show. We're expecting to have Corey Wooten, defensive end from Northwestern, as well as Alabama cornerback Kareem Jackson, national champ. All right, but before we get to the guests, we're going to start rocking and rolling with our live first-round mock draft on the air. And, Justin, you go first. The St. Louis Rams are on the clock.
Well, I don't think this is very hard. I mean, I think with the Rams, they needed franchise quarterbacks. They've passed on, you know, quarterbacks in the last two drafts. So I think they go ahead and lock up Sam Bradford, the quarterback out of Oklahoma, with that first overall pick.
So there's no doubt about it there. At all, you're going 100. You're not trading this to the Cleveland Browns, then?
No, because I don't think the Browns have enough. You want to give up enough to get the number one pick. So I think I stay put. And if I can't find a deal or a team to make a trade with, like the Browns at number seven, I stay pick and take Sam Bradford and get my franchise quarterback.
All right, Rev, I'll turn it over to you. Detroit Lions with Sam Bradford off the clock. Which way are the Lions going? I'm assuming it's defensive tackle. I'm just not sure which one.
Yeah, I think the Detroit Lions, they want to fortify that defense. They already have a lot of pieces over there at the linebacker position, at the safety position. But now it's time to do some damage up front, bring in that big defensive tackle that will open things up for the safeties and the linebackers. And the best guy to do that is from the University of Nebraska, Namakong Sue. This guy is just a force in terms of his strength, in terms of his versatility. This guy could take on two blockers. So I think Namakong Sue, you bring him in. If he holds up health-wise, this guy could be a force, an all-time great for the next 10 to 12, maybe even 15 years. So that's the direction I'm going in if I'm the Detroit Lions.
So you must be pumped up, Rev. You're getting the best player on the board.
I think so.
All right, and now Number three, the Tampa Bay Bucks are on the clock. That's me. I'll take the Bucks pick. And I may surprise some people with this because I'm going with Mr. Eric Berry, the safety out of Tennessee. I think, in my opinion, he's the best player on the board. Not only is he the best player on the board right now, he is the safest pick on the board. I think he has little to no bust factor. After Sue, I think Berry is the safest pick, the most surefire pick in this draft. So even though safety is not necessarily my biggest need, I need some help on the O-line, I need some help on the D-line, I think I'm going with Eric Berry, a playmaker to my defense. I spoke to Monty Kiffin this morning. He told me he's the way to go. So I'm going with Eric Berry, number four, to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Justin, I'll throw it back to you. Washington Redskins on the clock. Mike Shanahan, first draft. Which way are you going?
Well, you shocked me there with taking the Eric Berry thing. So now I really, you know, I was all set to take Russell Okung with that pick. But now I see Gerald McCoy still there. I'm switching to 3-4 defense. He could be a guy who could be a 5-technique guy. But I think what's all said and done, I traded for Don McNabb. I need protection there. So even though I think a very good player in Gerald McCoy is on the board, I go ahead and take Russell Okung, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma State, get my left tackle to pick, to, you know, protect Don McNabb. He's a very athletic, you know, tough, fierce competitor. I've got my left tack for the next 10 years in Russell Okung.
Not a bad choice. I think a pretty safe choice and definitely sound reasoning there of why you want to bring in Mr. Okung. How close were you tempted to take him, McCoy?
Oh, I mean, I think I was real close. I mean, when he was on the board there, I thought, hey, you know, this is a guy who I could, you know, really build that 3-4 defense as a 5-technique guy. So, and he's one of my top players on the board. So, hey, it was hard, but I got to go over knee because he's, you know, Okung's not too far down from him and is my overall board, and the knee trumps that. So I take Okung.
All right, Rev. Okay. McCoy is still on the board at number five with Kansas City. I'm not sure if it's necessarily a fit. Which direction are you going?
Well, there's no doubt that Kansas City needs a lot of help on defense, but conversely, they also need a lot of help on the offensive line as well. You know, Brandon Elbert has been a bust so far. He is not a tackle. He's not a left tackle, that's for certain. They might be better suited by shifting him to guard or maybe even right tackle. So keeping that in mind, if you want a great left tackle, you better take him early. You know, these players go quickly, and that's why I'm going to go with, out of the University of Iowa, Mr. Brian Bulaga. I think this kid is NFL ready. He's got quick feet. He's got tremendous strength. He's got the right mind and intelligence to play the position. I think this guy could step in right now and dominate.
Interesting pick, Rev. Interesting pick. You know, I'm not going to double guess it. Brian Bulaga is one of my favorite guys in this draft, and I think he's definitely worthy of a top five pick. I think I might have gone the same direction again, but I am on the clock now with the Seattle Seahawks. And it's interesting to see what direction they will go. But I'm going with C.J. Spiller here, guys. I know, once again, and it might not be their biggest need, but I still think running back is one of their top needs. And even more than just a running back, I think this ball club needs a playmaker, some life into that offense. I mean, it's just bereft of any really explosive players on the offensive side of the ball. I think Pete Carroll had a lot of fun coaching Reggie Bush in college, and I think he's going to get that type of talent at the NFL level in C.J. Spiller, somebody who's a great runner, catch the ball out of the backfield, even a better pass catcher, I think, than Reggie Bush in terms of his ability to run routes, and also a dynamic return guy. So I think Pete Carroll snags C.J. Spiller, and he will be the linchpin of the Seahawks offense for years to come. No more question marks about who's the main running back there in Seattle.
Wow. Surprising.
All right, number seven, the Cleveland Browns are on the clock. I'll throw it back to you, Justin.
Well, obviously, I mean, we still got a great player in Gerald McCoy who we thought was going to be a top three, top five type pick, and he's there for seven with the Cleveland Browns. I think they're fielding a lot of phone calls right now to see what the trade would happen, but when it's all said and done, they go ahead and take Gerald McCoy off the board and, you know, draft him and say, hey, he probably would be a better defensive tackle, but he can play a 5-technique in the 3-4 defense. They need playmakers on defense, and McCoy is the best player on the board. So Mike Holmgren goes defense in his first draft because of the great value that Gerald McCoy brings to the table.
So Mr. West Coast offense goes defense. The talent is too good and too tempting to pass up. Rev, the most exciting pick in the top 10. I mean, this opens it up for you. If you thought I was wild with Berry and Spiller, you can really let it all hang loose because you are with the Oakland Raiders, number 8 on the clock.
Yeah, you know what? A lot of people are guessing that they're going to go ahead and take Bruce Campbell, the offensive tackle. But I say no. I say that they go for somebody who has even bigger upside than Bruce Campbell, a guy with outstanding measurables. He's got length. He's got long arms. He's got agility. He's got size. He's got playmaking ability. And I'm talking about out of the University of South Florida, Mr. Jason Pierre-Paul. I mean, this guy, a lot of people are comparing him to the next Javon Kearse. I think that if you're patient with him, let him develop over the next couple of years, I think this guy could be a special player, a Pro Bowl-type player. Look, with the Oakland Raiders, that's what they look at. They look at speed. They look at athleticism. They look at size. And Jason Pierre-Paul gives them all that and a little bit more.
All right. And definitely a guy that's up the Raiders' alley. We knew it was going to be somebody that was a combine stud, back in Indianapolis, that was going to go at number 8 with Oakland. Guys, I got to be honest, this is a tough pick for me with the Buffalo Bills. I'm really not sure where I'm going to go. I was really hoping Mr. Bulaga would fall down to me at number 9. Although I thought the Rev might grab him at number 5 there with the Chiefs, as he did. I mean, I could go a lot of ways here. Trent Williams is the best offensive tackle on the board. Dan Williams could be a fit for my 3-4 defense. To be honest, I think that's a little high for those guys. I'm not a huge Jimmy Clausen fan, so I'm going to throw another surprise, and I'm going to go Dez Bryant, wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills. I think they need a real weapon there at wide receiver. They took a chance on T.O. They kicked the tires about potentially going for Brandon Marshall, so I don't think they're too worried about Dez Bryant. I think they're going to go with you can make a case, I think it's fair enough to say he is the best player on the board. Clearly the number 1 wide receiver, and they could use a weapon there. So I'm going Dez Bryant at number 9, just because I'm not sold on Trent Williams being a left tackle. We saw him play that position 1 year, and I wasn't that impressed. I know he's got the skill set, but it's still a question mark, and I think Buffalo needs playmakers. So I'm going Trent Williams at number 9. Jacksonville is on the clock. Justin, where are you going at number 10? I'm going Trent Williams or going Dez Bryant.
Yeah. I mean, as far as with Jacksonville being there at number 10, I think their player who they really want is still left on the board, and that's Rolando McClain from Alabama, as far as the linebacker who played in the 3-4, but to make the transition to 4-3 defense, be a middle linebacker. As far as, obviously, Jack Del Rio is a former linebacker. He needs to save his job. He needs help on defense. You know, they add the pass rusher and Aaron Campman in the offseason. I think they would like to see Jason Pierre-Paul there, but he's gone with the Oakland Raiders, so they take Rolando McClain, the linebacker from Alabama.
I think something was just broken in the Denver Broncos war room. I just wanted to throw that out there. And, Rev, are you ready? Number 11, the Miami Dolphins are on the clock.
Well, you know, the Miami Dolphins here have a couple of very intriguing choices. They could either go with Dan Williams or Derek Morgan. Derek Morgan, they could put him as an outside linebacker. He can rush the passer. And when you run that 3-4, and it looks like Jason Taylor is probably going to go to the Jets or elsewhere, they're going to need somebody else to bring the heat off the outside. But, however, cooler heads prevail here. They have a 3-4 defense. The nucleus of that 3-4 is the nose tackle position. So the Miami Dolphins go with, out of the University of Tennessee, Mr. Dan Williams. Look, he's not the most exciting pick out there, but there are not enough nose tackles to go around out there. You know, it's hard to find guys who are 320 pounds that can actually move, take up two blockers. Right now, the Miami Dolphins are in a little trouble in terms of that position. Jason Ferguson is getting up in years, and he's going to be suspended for the first 8 weeks of the season, necessitating the acquisition of another nose tackle to fill in. And I think Dan Williams is the type of guy who could come in and make an impact from day one. So I'm going to go with Dan Williams here.
All right, folks. Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner in the chat room to our quiz question at the top of the show, and it was C.J. Spiller. Out of his 52 touchdowns, how many went for 50 yards or greater? And the answer is 21. So jump in the chat room right now, folks. We are going to put a download into the chat room, and the first 8 people to click on the download will get a free NFL Draft Bible. That's right. The first 8 people to click on the chat room will get a free NFL Draft Bible PDF. You can thank guest 160 for coming through with that answer.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
That's right, baby. You can't be more ready for the NFL Draft with this book. All right, now, I am back on the clock, and really, you guys threw me all over the place here. I took Dez Bryant myself, so I can't take him at number 12 for the Denver Broncos. Rolando McClain was the guy I really had my heart set on. He went off the board. I needed a nose tackle. Rev took the top nose tackle there. I'm a little tempted to go with Terrence Cody, but I spent a lot of money on Williams. So you know what? I'm going to go with Joe Hayden, the corner out of Florida. Once again, not necessarily the biggest need I have, but hey, the secondary could use some improvement. Champ Bailey is going to be a year older, so I think this still fills in a need, and he can play next to Champ for a year, and then hopefully in a year or two down the road, Hayden will be ready to step up as my number one lockdown corner. So Joe Hayden goes to number 12 to the Denver Broncos. Justin, number 13, the 49ers are on the clock.
Well, obviously, Joe Hayden was an option here, you know, with the 49ers, but he went, you know, with the pick with Denver, which I think, you know, could definitely be a possibility there. So we go ahead and we say, hey, you know, we could take Jimmy Clausen here, but we're going to let him kind of slide because we know we have another pick. We're going to go get Trent Williams, who we feel was a top five, top 10 pick. We get great value at number 13. He can play the right tackle because they've got Joe Staley at the left tackle. So they, you know, solidify their offensive line by taking Trent Williams, offensive tackle out of Oklahoma.
All right, getting value there at number 13, the pick who was slipping and sliding. Rev, you are on the clock at number 14 with the Seattle Seahawks. They went offense with the first pick, grabbing C.J. Spiller. What direction is Pete Carroll going at number 14?
Well, Derek Morgan is still on the board. They do need a defensive end. They also need some help at safety. Earl Thomas is still on the board. But, however, since they did go with the running back, making all the fans happy with C.J. Spiller getting that playmaker, look, they still have a big need over at the left tackle position. And as I said before with the left tackles, if you don't grab them early, you're not going to grab a good one. So in this case, Pete Carroll is going to surprise some people, but he's going to take a guy that he already knows, he's already comfortable with, and that's Mr. Charles Brown out of USC. A lot of people are knocking him because maybe he's a little bit too much of a finesse guy, but if you watch this guy play in his senior year, this guy only got better. He's got long arms. He could drive block. I think this guy's only going to get better. And you know what? With Charles Brown, you don't have any concerns about him being a problem off the field. You don't have any concerns about him not working hard enough. So that's why I'm going to go with Charles Brown over a guy like Anthony Davis, who can't seem to keep his weight down and gets a little lazy. Charles Brown is my pick.
Interesting pick there, Rev. Interesting pick. A little surprising. New York Giants are on the clock at number 15. I really need a Mike linebacker, but I don't see a fit here at number 15. I could go defensive tackle, but it's a deep draft in terms of defensive tackles. I think I could find somebody later in the draft. So I'm stuck between two guys here. Do I grab Davis, who's still on the board? I love those big guys. He's a Jersey guy, but there are some question marks. I'm the New York Giants. I like guys with high character, hard workers, no question marks, big bodies. So I'm grabbing Derek Morgan at defensive end. Once again, not the biggest need, but Giants love to grab those pass rushers, and I think he's just a perfect fit for this franchise. So I'm going to plug him there at defensive end. I'm going to say, OC, you better be happy, my man, because I got Derek Morgan ready to be the number one defensive end for the New York Football Giants. At number 16, the Tennessee Titans are on the clock. Justin, take it away.
Well, hey, you just took my pick as far as where I was going to go. So now I'm scrambling to say, hey, what, you know, as far as with them, I'm the Titans. I say, okay, hey, Derek Morgan, we were locked into him thinking he was going to be there. But he obviously goes to the New York Giants, which definitely is a possibility. So I think we still say, hey, we need some help on that defensive line. We need a pass rusher. And, hey, you know, maybe this guy's more of a, as far as 3-4 defensive end, but we think he can be a pass rushing defensive tackle. We lost that with Albert Haynesworth, and so we're going to go ahead and get Jared Odrick from the University of Penn State to play defensive tackle because we need a pass rusher inside to kind of replace what Albert Haynesworth did, and we think Odrick can do that.
interesting selection there. I have a feeling Justin's not happy picking after me all these picks. I seem to be snagging guys from right under his feet left and right. But I think Odrick is a very solid pick, although I got to say a lot of 3-4 teams are going to be disappointed to see him go off the board, probably the top 3-4 defensive end in this draft. Number 17, Rev, San Francisco is back on the clock. They got value at number 13 with Trent Williams. They think they got a steal there, addressed an issue along the offensive line, and he may not even have to play left tackle there. Which way are they going with their second pick at number 17?
Well, the San Francisco 49ers could go in a variety of directions here. They got their offensive tackle, so they're not going to go with an offensive lineman here. Jared Odrick is a guy they were looking at, but since he's off the board, I think right now it's time to focus on their secondary. They have some pieces right there that are getting a little older. Nate Clemens isn't the same player he was a few years ago. They also need help at safety. So I think over here, the San Francisco 49ers are going to have to go with Earl Thomas out of the University of Texas. Here's a player who is just an absolute playmaker, has extraordinary instincts, a guy who could play cornerback if you need him to. Earl Thomas is the pick here.
Ooh, you got me a little nervous there, Rev. I thought you might go with a corner for the San Francisco 49ers, but I like the pick of Earl Thomas a lot. He's a guy that can help you both at safety and corner. I think you got really good value there with San Fran, a real future San Francisco treat. Earl Thomas at number 17. And with number 18, the Pittsburgh Steelers, there's a cheer in the draft room, and they can't wait to run up and get Mr. Kyle Wilson out of Boise State to be a corner. Last year, the Pittsburgh Steelers' pass defense was far from their strength. In fact, it was a weakness. They've got aging guys there in the secondary. They need somebody that can really cover and make it so when Polamalu is not there that the back four of the defense doesn't just completely collapse. They need somebody that can really lock down and face up with the other team's number one wide receiver. So they go with Kyle Wilson, the corner out of Boise State. Justin, I hope Atlanta wasn't going to take Kyle Wilson. I don't think they were, but I'll throw it to you at number 19 with the Atlanta Falcons are now on the clock.
No, I mean, Atlanta's sitting there saying, hey, we've got a bunch of guys who we really like, who we could plug in. And so we could go Brandon Graham. We could go Sergio Kendall. We could go Sean Weatherspoon. But basically, we're sticking straight with our board. We've got Thomas Dimitroff running our board here. So he says, hey, we're going best available. And that's Sergio Kendall, the defensive end slash outside linebacker. A lot of 3-4 teams were looking at it as a conversion guy. But they like what John Abraham is, kind of an undersized, kind of in the same mold of Sergio Kendall. He's getting up there in age. And they're looking for a guy who can be another pass rusher. So they say, hey, we like the versatility of what Sergio Kendall brings. We figured he was a top 15 guy. He slid down here at 19. We're going to go ahead and draft Sergio Kendall at the University of Texas with the number 19 overall pick.
Going with best player on the board philosophy. I like that philosophy. Number 20, the Houston Texans are on the clock. Rev, it's all you.
Okay, well, the Houston Texans here, they're looking at two different positions. They're looking at cornerback, first of all, because Donte Robinson is now with the Atlanta Falcons. So they need a shutdown type of guy. They need a guy who could step in there right now and start. They were looking at Earl Thomas. He's now off the board. So now it's time to focus in on the running back position. Look, they already have some talent at running back. However, Arian Foster is a big guy who fumbles a lot. Steve Slayton is a guy who's a little bit smaller. He's not good in short yard situations and now has some durability concerns. Ryan Moats is a guy that's better used in small doses. So why not bring in a back that could give you the best of both worlds? And that's Mr. Ryan Matthews out of Fresno State, a big kid at about 6 feet, 220 pounds. And the thing that the Houston Texans always look at in running backs, they want to see whether or not they have the vision to play the position, if they can hit those cutback lanes. And Ryan Matthews does that, in addition to being a real pounder who can take it up the middle, gain those tough yards, but also break it to the outside and make some big plays on the perimeter as well. So they're going to go with Ryan Matthews here.
All right, and at number 21, the Cincinnati Bengals are now on the clock. And to me, right now, what I'm looking in terms of what I need and what's there on the board, I don't see a safety or a linebacker that's a great fit for my scheme or great value at this point in the draft. I could go with another offensive lineman. It is tempting, but I'm going with Mr. Jermaine Gresham, the tight end out of Oklahoma. My passing game last year was abysmal. It was horrible. Carson Palmer needs another weapon, particularly somebody in the intermediate passing range, and the tight end position was basically they caught – their three tight ends barely caught more passes than the three of us did in 2009. So the Cincinnati Bengals desperately need another weapon in the passing game. They need a starting tight end. I think they're getting great value at 21 with Jermaine Gresham. If he was not injured last season and had the type of senior year like he did as a junior, I don't think he would still be on the board. So I'm jumping all over it. Jermaine Gresham at 21. 22, the New England Patriots are on the clock. And you like how we worked it, so me and Rev didn't have to pick for New England. Justin, it's all you.
Well, obviously, I mean, they're a team who's got a lot of second-round picks. So I think what they look at is say, hey, well, who's the best player available on the board? Well, with the style of defense we like as far as big six athletic guys, and I think that goes for University of Michigan defensive end slash outside linebacker Brandon Graham, who will be, of course, a conversion guy for the New England Patriots. He's a guy who can be a pass rusher. That's one thing they lacked last year. Physical, tough, hard-nosed, hard worker. Yeah, he does have a little bit shorter arms than what you want in a 3-4 outside linebacker. Not as tall, but he's an effort guy. He's a good, as far as character guy, and that's what New England's looking for. They take, as far as University of Michigan, defensive end Brandon Graham.
All right, and Rev, you're up number 23 with the Green Bay Packers. Where did the pack attack go at number 23?
Well, if GM Ted Thompson had his druthers, he would take the best offensive tackle available here. However, he's taken a look at Anthony Davis. And again, you know, some of the same concerns we mentioned before, not a hard worker, a guy who tends to put on weight. So he looks at linebacker. There's nobody that he really falls in love with here. So he goes over to the cornerback position, and he goes with, at the University of Rutgers, Devin McCourty. Look, Charles Woodson is getting up there in years. He's still performing well, but how much longer can you count on him? Al Harris had a torn ACL at the end of the season this past year. Is he going to come back? And if he doesn't come back, you're going to be stuck with Tremont Williams or Jared Bush. You know, those guys are not starters. You bring in McCourty, a very fluid cornerback, a guy who's very intelligent. He can anticipate routes. In addition to that, he's a tremendous special teams player as far as being a special teams defender and a return man as well. You bring in Devin McCourty, you put him next to Charles Woodson, and watch this Green Bay team quite possibly contend for a Super Bowl.
Hey, McCourty is a guy that can step in right away. Help on defense, tremendous special teams player, not just a return guy. You better watch when you're kicking the ball because he gets his hands on more balls than any player in college football in terms of blocking those kicks. 24, the Philadelphia Eagles are on the clock, and I could use a linebacker. I could use an outside linebacker who could run and cover some ground as well as a face of my defense. I haven't had a face of a defense for a while here. Jimmy Johnson, obviously, rest his soul, is no longer in Philadelphia. A guy like Jeremiah Trotter, they haven't had a personality like that in a while. So I'm going with Sean Weatherspoon, the outside linebacker, who both fills a need on the field and I think as an emotional leader for this defense. So Philadelphia grabs Mr. Sean Weatherspoon to fill that linebacker spot. Justin, 25, the Baltimore Ravens are on the clock. Take it away.
Well, I mean, they're a team who always tries to go with the best available player from their board and a guy who they're always looking to help on that defensive front. And, you know, as far as we're looking for nose tackles and replacements there. So one guy who I think they really like is Brian Price out of UCLA. Yes, you know, so as a guy who could be in that front, help stop the run. So they go as far as best guy on their board as far as to help that front seven, and that's Brian Price, the defensive tackle at UCLA.
All right, Brian Price, a little bit of a surprising pick, not a huge surprise. He's somebody, you know, he's one of those guys that a lot, we have him graded as a potential first rounder, but he doesn't seem to fit in a lot of mocks. We got him in here, Brian Price at 25, best player on the board. Rev, 26, the Arizona Cardinals are on the clock. Which direction are you going?
Well, the Arizona Cardinals need some help on that offensive line. Now with Anquan Boldin off the team with the Baltimore Ravens, Kurt Warner being retired, I think Mr. Wisenhunt, Coach Wisenhunt, wants to focus more on the running game. He wants to turn that offense into a more physical team. He's been saying that for the past couple of years, but this year he really means it. When Matt Leinart is your cornerback, you can't be throwing the ball all over the place and expect to win. So with that in mind, the Arizona Cardinals go with the best guard in this draft, and that's Mr. Mike Iupati. You put him out there, this guy's just going to manhandle people. You can move him out to right tackle if necessary, but this guy's very physical. He can get out to the second level, very athletic, very strong, and you never see this guy on the ground. Beanie Wells is going to have another great season, so look out. Mike Iupati is coming to Arizona.
Wow, Mike Iupati off the clock. He's somebody that I was really thinking about grabbing for the Dallas Cowboys at number 27, so you took one out from under me, Rev. I know they have needs also at inside linebacker. I'm not really sure if there's a fit there. Free safety, Chad Jones is somewhat tempting, but I'm going to go with some help along the offensive line, and I'm going with Indiana left tackle Roger Saffold.
Mm-hmm.
I could use a future left tackle, and I could use some immediate help at offensive guard, and I think Saffold's going to provide me with both. I could probably play him at guard early on, and then maybe hopefully that he can acclimate himself and move out to left tackle eventually, or maybe he could play tackle right away. We'll see, but I have the safety net of him being able to play two spots there. So I'm going Roger Saffold, the high riser at Indiana, with the 27th pick. Justin, number 28, the San Diego Chargers are on the clock, the Superchargers.
Well, obviously, I mean, Ryan Matthews was their hope that he would still be there at 28. With him going 20 to Houston, I think they addressed the other need. What they need is that's a nose tackle on that 3-4 defense. And so they go Terrence Cody out of Alabama. Mount Cody will go ahead and replace for his Williams, Jamal Williams, who was their nose tackle over the last couple of years and really helped that defense go. So without as far as Ryan Matthews being there at the running back position, they go Terrence Cody to fill that nose tackle position.
All right, very good value. I think this late in the draft, the potential starting nose tackle fills in a need. I know a lot of people like to knock his game and say he's only a two-down player, but heck, who cares? You need a guy like that if you're going to have a stout 3-4 defense. Rev, can I give you a J-E-T-S, Jets at number 29?
Jets.
The New York Jets fans are in the audience ready to boo whoever you pick.
The Jets are very, very disappointed here. They had their sights set on Mr. Cody themselves. However, in light of that, what they're going to do here is they're going to focus on the pass rush. Yeah, look, last year Calvin Pace was the only guy that had at least 8 sacks. They need some more help. Yeah, they're talking about getting Jason Taylor, but until they don't get him, they need some fresh young blood there to help put some pressure on the quarterback. And they're going to go with Mr. Jerry Hughes out of TCU. He is, in my opinion, the best guy left here at that hybrid position. And the thing that you really like about Jerry Hughes, you don't have to worry about him making that transition to outside linebacker because he showed that he's athletic enough to drop back. He's got some good technique. He keeps his head down. So unlike Mr. Vernon Golston, I think Mr. Jerry Hughes is going to be versatile enough to play that outside linebacker position and cover some backs and tight ends if necessary.
All right, we are winding down almost to the end. We got 3 more picks here, and I am on the clock now with the Minnesota Vikings. A lot of intriguing stuff here. I'm not sure where to go. I really wanted to get a corner here. You took Mr. Devin McCourty. Jimmy Clausen still on the board. Do I take Jimmy Clausen as my quarterback of the future? Do I have to take him? You know what? I think I have to take him, even if I don't keep him. Just the value, I think, is too good. So I'm tempted to take my man Kareem Jackson there at number 30. But I think with Jimmy Clausen still being there, I almost have no choice but to grab him here at number 30 and either keep him as my QB of the future or maybe use him as a pick for a team that didn't get their quarterback in the first round. So Jimmy Clausen to the Minnesota Vikings at number 30. Number 31, the Indianapolis Colts are on the clock. Justin, it's all you, baby.
Well, I think the biggest thing is obviously the Indianapolis Colts are all about, hey, what can we do, you know, as far as to make our team better? What can we do, you know, as far as to help Peyton Manning? We've seen that over the last couple of years in their NFL draft. I think what they do is they look and they say, hey, who's a guy who's really slid, who could have been a top 10, top 15 pick, on that offensive side of the ball, and that's Anthony Davis out of Rutgers. I mean, he's a guy who I expected to go a lot earlier in this NFL draft. He slid. They could use him as far as both that, right tackle, left tackle. They want to protect that franchise, so they go Anthony Davis, the offensive tackle out of Rutgers, with the 31st overall pick.
All right, great value there for the Indianapolis Colts for sure, and I think that would be a great organization for Anthony Davis to go to. That's back-to-back first-round picks out of New Jersey for the Indianapolis Colts. They went with Donald Brown last year, Anthony Davis this year. Rev, number 32 to close out our live first-round mock draft. What do you get the team that has everything, the Super Bowl champion New Orleans Saints?
Well, I think the New Orleans Saints here, they're going to focus on defense, and they're looking at a couple of different guys. One guy that hasn't been taken yet is Carlos Dunlap, has terrific ability, has the size, has the upside that you want in a defensive end. However, he has character concerns, doesn't always play hard. And in addition to that, the New Orleans Saints have already acquired Alex Brown from the Chicago Bears. So, the defensive end position is not an immediate need. They can go later on in the draft and pick someone from that position. Instead, they're going to be looking for a linebacker here, I think. Mr. Scott Fujita is no longer with the team. They need somebody in there, some guy with size, some guy with speed and agility. And they're going to go with Mr. Darryl Washington out of TCU, a guy with size at 6'2", could put on a few more pounds, only 230, but he's got tremendous instincts, tremendous sideline-to-sideline quickness, speed, and agility. And the thing that you like about him is his recognition skills. He's a very smart guy. He doesn't over-pursue plays, so I think he can make an impact in his rookie year. They're going to go with Mr. Darryl Washington out of TCU.
All right, folks, you're listening to the NFL Draft Bible's Draft Digest show, our final pre-draft show. We just wrapped up the first round live mock. And, folks, go right now. Go to NFLDraftBible.com. Get that PDF. You will get it instantly. You'll be able to download it and be ready for the NFL Draft. You'll have 4 days. You'll have to take off from work. Tell your wife you'll be busy. You can't go out for dinner because you need all that time to dive into this guide, 321 pages to get you ready for the NFL draft. And we have a caller on the line from 503 area code. Hello, caller. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm digging y'all information. Y'all right on point. I'm a New Orleans Saints fan, and I was hoping Jerry Hughes fall down to us. But I had a question for you guys, and it's at the quarterback position. I want to know where a guy like Ryan Perilou later in the draft, does he get drafted? Does he have the capabilities of being a quality backup at least to start off, down the road in the NFL?
Well, I'm going to throw this to Justin since he was there at the Texas versus Nation game. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, I think as far as Ryan Perilou, he's a guy who's got all the talent. Talking with NFL scouts down there, they really like him. The issue was, is his maturity level. When I had a chance to sit down and talk with him, he said that, he's undergone counseling for the last year and a half to kind of help him make better decisions, help him make better decisions off the field, and so he can be that leader. I think he's a guy who probably, if he does get drafted, it's going to be a sixth, seventh round pick, but I think he's probably going to be an undrafted rookie free agent, come in there as a number four guy. But I think this is a guy who's got a lot of talent. He'll go ahead and make the club, and kind of work his way up there. And could be a guy who could be a sleeper pick in the next, three, 4 years. We said, hey, why didn't this guy ever get drafted? Because he could be a starter at the NFL level, in my opinion.
You want to jump in, Rev?
Ryan Perilou does give you those measurables. He does have the strong arm. But the thing is that, he has those those issues. And, quite frankly, in Texas versus the Nation, outside of one or two throws, he really didn't impress me. I don't think he's going to get drafted. I think he's going to be a priority free agent. I think he's definitely going to be brought into a camp, and he's going to have a chance to compete. He might have to stick around on a practice squad for about a year or two, but the future is all ahead of him. So I think Perilou, I think he's got a chance to stick around, but he's going to have to prove himself. I don't think he gets drafted. I think he's going to have to be in a practice squad for about a year or two.
Caller, go ahead. I think you had something else.
No, I just wanted to say, out of all of the defensive ends, I think Jerry Hughes will be a star. I saw a lot of film on the guy, and I really like his energy. I like his motor. And out of all the defensive ends, I like Jerry Hughes, and I like the Graham kid out of Michigan. The kid from Michigan played the run absolutely well for his size. I think he will be a good pro. So I'm looking at both of those guys as being probably the two top defensive ends in the draft.
Is that, as a Saints fan, is that what you're hoping for? Is that you're hoping they go defensive end with that pick?
Yeah, I'm hoping they go defensive end because I think the Saints defense need a guy that can also have the ability to play linebacker but also rush the passer, because Alex Brown is good for about 6 a year. And they need more production out of that position and when it comes down to sacks. Because Charles Grant, he didn't give him that much production. He gave him the last couple of years, 3 and 4 sacks, something like that. So I think they need an extra guy. Even though they acquire Alex Brown, a guy that can get after the quarterback, because the secondary is going to give you interceptions. They're good coverage guys with Tracy Porter and Jabbar Greer on the outside. And you also got Malcolm Jenkins. So you need another guy that can come in and put pressure on the quarterback on third and long situations.
Yep. Yeah. What about Carlos Dunlap? Is he a guy that you would like to go with in the first round, though? I mean, here's a guy with some off-the-field issues, some maturity issues. And on top of that, he's a guy that doesn't have a big motor, doesn't always play hard. You know, when I was watching those Florida games, a lot of times Jermaine Cunningham outperformed him. But then again, you know, Dunlap has that upside. He's got the size. He's got the long arms. And, you know, when he decides to play and he does put in the effort, this guy can dominate. So, you know, what about Carlos Dunlap? Would you be happy with him as your pick in the first round?
I would love to have a guy like Carlos Dunlap. I think he's going to be a good pro. I think the issue with him, like you said, is he's going to bring it every down. But if I had the chance to pick out of the two or the three guys, I would have to pick the other two ahead of him right now. But if he ends up falling to you at 32 and all both of those guys are taken, I think you do go with a guy like Dunlap.
All right, Cole, do you have any other questions?
No, man, I appreciate it, man. I'm really digging you guys' show, man, and I definitely will be calling back, man. Like I said, my name is Corey, and I'll be calling y'all show again, man. I'm just going to sit back and listen on the phone and see what else y'all guys are talking about, man.
All right, Corey, cool. Thanks for calling in, and we definitely hope you'll be a regular listener. And next week we got a packed, you know, a jam-packed week full of shows. We got the Football Spectacular Part 3 Wednesday night, 3 hours, and then we're going to be previewing the draft each day, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday before the draft starts. And then, of course, back next Sunday with the NFL Draft Bible's Draft Digest show. We're going 2 hours next week as we recap the draft. We're going to pack those shows full of guests from, you know, media. We're going to try to get some college coaches on for you. And, of course, as always, a bunch of players on as well. I know we have Kareem Jackson just texted me, so he will be on the line shortly. And, Corey, thanks a lot for the call and the conversation on the New Orleans Saints there. Rev, it was a fun first round mock draft there. I enjoyed it. Some interesting picks. Which guy, I think, you know, do you think surprised you the most, Rev, in terms of slipping? You know, was it a guy like a Clawson who I took at 30, or was it Anthony Davis at number 31 with the Colts? Which guy do you think surprised you more that he was there that late in the draft?
I'm going to go with Jimmy Clawson. I mean, you can, when it comes to the quarterback position, when you got a guy who played in a pro-style offense, a guy with a strong arm, a guy who's had some success at the collegiate level, a guy with some intelligence, I mean, you're surprised when he falls down that low. Actually, you know, I was kind of shocked that the Buffalo Bills didn't go with Jimmy Clawson. I understand that they need a playmaker either at running back or at wide receiver. But really, it all starts with the quarterback position. If you don't have a quarterback, then how good, you know, what good is a good receiver going to do you? So I was really shocked that Jimmy Clawson fell. His stock actually plummeted as much as it did.
And Justin, let me ask you, now, which guy I think surprised you the most in terms of going in the top 10? You know, we saw Spiller go at number 6, Pierre Paul at number 8, Dez Bryant at number 9. Which guy was most surprising to you?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, it was Eric Berry going number 3 overall. And then as far as not a little bit outside the top 10, but as far as Charles Brown going number 14 to Seattle. So I think those two picks really kind of shocked me where they went, not that they went in the first round.
And we're getting a lot of buzz in the chat room regarding the McCoy pick and the McCoy Sue debates. People in the chat room will be very surprised if McCoy does fall to number 7. I personally am not that – I would not be that shocked myself personally, because I think if Tampa doesn't take him, I don't think the teams after that there's really a fit there for him. Rev, you know, do you think it's out of the realm of possibility that McCoy could fall out of the top five?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I could definitely see him falling out because you take a look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and they don't really have a need. I mean, they've been taking those types of players like McCoy over the past couple of seasons, so why take that type of player for a third year in a row? Then you take a look at Seattle. You know, you mentioned running back, but they also have a big need over at offensive tackle, and even they have a big need over at defensive end. So, yeah, I could easily see him going down and being picked somewhere in between that 6 through 10 range right there.
Justin, I got a feeling you don't necessarily agree with me and the Reverend.
No, I don't. I think the thing is I think, you know, okay, fine, if he doesn't go to Tampa, I think it's a no-brainer lock to go to Seattle because they need pass rushers. And the biggest thing is he's a better pass rusher than Ndamukong Suh, you know, and far as an interior guy and a guy who could be, you know, as far as a dominant player as far as on that front defensive line, I think it would be a no-brainer for him to say, hey, Seattle says, hey, this is our best available guy sitting on the board, sitting at number 6. He's a guy who we might not be able to get to in the next 2 or 3 years. We need an interior pass rusher. We need a Warren Sapp for our defense. We would play 4-3, perfect fit, no-brainer. They'd run up there and put in that card to get Gerald McCoy.
Yeah, we just had somebody there in our guest saying Seattle would not pass on him, that they have a need for a pass rusher. So there's an agreement there. Justin, you know, a lot of people are talking once again about McCoy and talking about the different fits and saying how McCoy fits a Tampa defense better. I'm other thinking I like Sue better regardless of the scheme pretty much. What's your take on that?
Well, yeah, I agree with you 100% there, Dan. I think the biggest thing is he's a more physical guy. He's a more imposing, just strong guy who could be a penetrator inside. He's a better guy against the run. I think when you're talking about defensive tackle, you're talking about a guy who you want to, number one, stop the run first and then be able to rush the passer second. And I think that's what he is. He's a guy – to me, I love Sue, you know, and I think he's a guy that number two is totally his value. And other people think, talking about, hey, the Lions need to take Okung, you know, to protect the franchise. No, they need to get a dominant inside player as far as, and then when you, if you can be able to rush the passer and disrupt that as far as offensive line, you will help your secondary. And that's, and it starts up front. It starts up front with Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah, no, look. Ndamukong Suh, I know a lot of people are saying McCoy is a better pass rusher, but I think Ndamukong Suh, he is so good that he could be whatever he wants to be. You need him to play in the 3-4, he could do that. You want him to play in the 4-3, he could do that. You want him to play end, you want him to play tackle. I think this guy is so powerful. He's so athletic. I know, to me, it comes down to this. Who is the more dominant player? And I haven't seen a defensive lineman as dominant as Ndamukong Suh, you know, in the past 10 to 12 years. A lot of people, you know, even compared him to Reggie White. I could see the comparisons. He's got that type of power where he can hold off an offensive tackle and use his other arm to pull down a running back. So this guy, his potential is off the charts. His athleticism is off the charts. And what I really love about Sue is his killer instinct. This guy is a trained killer. He's ultra competitive. And I think those things give him the edge over McCoy.
The House of Spears, that's what Ndamukong means, and he is definitely a beast. And I haven't seen a better defensive player in college football in my lifetime. I thought he should have won the Heisman Trophy. I think it was just a testament to his ability that he made it, that he was even invited to New York. You know what I mean? Even though we saw Charles Woodson win it, we know Woodson wouldn't have won the Heisman if not for his ability as a return guy, as well as making receptions. I mean, you know, he had a touchdown catch against Ohio State. So all that stuff factors into the equation when Woodson goes there. Sue plays, you know, one of the least sexiest positions, you know, if you will, as a defensive tackle, and still found a way to get to New York. And if you ever seen him in person, I mean, you know, he's over 300 pounds, but, you know, he carries it well, man. He looks like he could put on even more weight and than he has. So I think he can even get bigger and stronger as his career goes on. I think he's hands down the best player in this draft. I guess I get what the Rams are doing. I would take him number one, so definitely take him number two. Rev, who are some other guys? You know, I found it interesting, you know, your guy Pierre Paul. Let's talk about him a little bit, going to Oakland. If not Oakland, where do you see him going? I mean, do you still think he could be a number 10 pick maybe to Jacksonville, or at least a top 15 pick, or could you see him slipping down outside of the top 20? I mean, I get everything you like about Pierre Paul, and the kid plays hard. I think he plays the run better than people give him credit for, and you've seen improvement from him whenever he plays, but I still think, you know, he's very, very, very raw. And when you have guys like a Derek Morgan there who's more polished, you have even a Brandon Graham who's ready to play right away, how do you balance that upside with the talent?
Well, I'll tell you, if the Oakland Raiders decide to go in another direction, I don't see the Jacksonville Jaguars going after him. I could see the Jacksonville Jaguars taking Derek Morgan instead. Derek Morgan is a guy who is more polished. I think he is, more ready to contribute right now in his rookie year. So, you know, when you're looking at Jason Pierre-Paul, you're looking at upside. But I think it's a little bit more than upside, because I did see this guy perform. I did see this guy use his long arms to back down passes. And he also plays hard, by the way. He's not just a guy who you say, oh, well, he's a great athlete. Let's see. But the guy plays hard. He loves the game of football. So I think the Tennessee Titans might go for him if the Oakland Raiders decide to pass.
All right, folks, you're listening to the NFL Draft Bible's Draft Digest Show. Don't forget to go to NFLDraftBible.com and order that PDF right now. Get it instantly. 321 pages packed full of draft information. And without further ado, we have our guest today with us is national champion cornerback Kareem Jackson. We only have a couple of minutes, so no fight song this week. Kareem, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you on, buddy. And let me ask you, what was it like winning that championship? How was the reaction? How were things different for you on the streets when you were walking around?
Excuse me. It was great, man. From growing up as a kid, watching that game, just always telling myself, you know, I want to be a guy that possibly play in that national championship game and win. So, I mean, it was a dream come true for me. You know, getting back to my hometown, you know, everybody had smiles on their face, just kind of congratulating me. So that felt real good. I was very excited about that. So, I mean, it was a great experience.
And I know you're a big connoisseur of hats. So how often have you worn your national championship hat?
I wore it one time. We had a little ceremony to present the trophy and stuff once we got back. I wore that one time. I just kind of put it up. It's going to be in my trophy case. So I don't think I took any of that national championship stuff.
Well, you can get another one, right? They should get you two. You know, one to use and one to display.
Yeah, but, you know, I gave one to my dad, so.
All right. Fair enough. Now, you know, I don't know how many people know this about you, but you are a big prankster. And I remember when we talked during the season, you said a lot of guys set themselves up for the jokes that I play. So who's the easiest guys to play a joke on the Alabama team? Which guy you can't help but play a joke on him?
The easiest guy, it's got to be Arenas. Got to be.
Your partner in crime, Javier?
Yeah. He gets so riled up. And, you know, just from being around him a whole lot on and off the field, you know, I kind of can predict him now. So, you know, any little thing can kind of, he'll be like, okay, who did this, who did that? And he won't direct it towards me. So, I mean, he never looks for me to mess with him himself. For when I used to hide his scooter, that when he kind of came around, he's like, all right, see, you want to mess with me every day. So, I mean, it's got to be him.
Hide in the scooter, I like that. And one more, how about Saban? I know you've been able to play a couple of jokes on him as well, and people, you know, you wouldn't think that. So is Saban a little different, you know, behind the scenes than what we see in on TV and in public?
Oh, yeah, he definitely is. In public, you know, he's got to be all business, and that's what he is. That's what makes him so great as a coach. Behind the scenes, I mean, he just is fun and loving it all. That's just behind the scenes. He's another guy, but at the same time, he's still businesslike with us.
Hey, Kareem, this is Ralph here. You seem like a pretty confident guy. Do you engage in a lot of trash talk against your opponents? And how do you handle a wideout who talks a lot of junk?
For me, trash talking was never my thing. I just like to let my play do the talking for me. I'm be out there on that corner. I'm going to have extreme confidence in myself because, you know, I know what I can do as a player. And out there on that island, you got to have confidence because it's either going to be you or it's going to be that guy. So I never get into a lot of trash talking. I mean, if the guy's talking trash to me, I'm going to make a play, and then, you know, I'm going to see what he has to say after that. Majority of the time, that kind of sets him up. Once you kind of hit him in the mouth or make a couple of plays on the ball or pick one up, that kind of set him up. So that'll be the end of that for the rest of the game. So, you know, I just like to let my play do the talking for me.
Yeah, Kareem, I have one more here. What are some qualities that make you stand out as a defender over the average cornerback out there?
I think me being physical, at the line of scrimmage. I think my willingness to tackle. A lot of corners might want to come down and cut your legs off from under you. I'm the type of guy where I think I got the safety mentality where I'm gonna hit you in your mouth, so you're gonna know I'm out there the whole game. So I think that's what's gonna separate me.
Hey, Kareem, Justin here. I wanted to know, what was the biggest factor about you deciding to come out early and not go back to Alabama to defend that national championship?
The biggest thing for me, going into the year, I just wanted to do everything possible to be able to put myself in a situation to be able to make that decision at the end of the year. And I felt I did that as a player. I felt I proved myself as a player that can cover and tackle, you know, helping the run support. So, at the end of the year, I sat down with my parents and kind of told them what I wanted to do, and they supported me in my decision. And, 14-0, national championship, it don't get no better than that for me. So, that's kind of icing on the cake to it for me.
Gotcha. And any expectations here coming up this week about where you want to go or where you think you should go or anything like that?
Just a guy that love ball, so it don't really matter where I end up. You got the family that wants you to go somewhere that's close to home, so they can try to come to games and visit and all that stuff. So it don't really matter where I go. I just want to, hit my name call, as early as possible, and get to whatever team and work hard and get back to what I love to do, and that's to play ball.
Hey, Kareem, it's Dan again. Can you let us know, what teams you've worked out for and visited with during this process?
I visited with Pittsburgh. I've been to Arizona. I've been to the Jets. Been to Cleveland. I've been to Denver. I've been to Jacksonville. I've been to St. Louis, and I worked out for Cleveland. I worked out for New England. I worked out for Kansas City. I worked out for Chicago. I worked out for just recently, like a day or two ago, I worked out for Oakland, and that's about it.
That's a pretty long list. I think that's a record for guys I've talked to this year. You've had a busy offseason. Kareem, last question before we let you go. So what are your plans for next week, for draft weekend? When that first round starts, where are you going to be?
I'm going to be in Macon, Georgia, my hometown, with family, with the people who supported me through this whole thing, family and friends. I'm going to be with them and, just kind of share this time with them because it's going to be real special for me and my family. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, so why not be with the people that I love?
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. Have the butterflies sunk in yet? Are the nerves starting to kick in?
Not yet. So I'm guessing once it's about that time for everything to come on and me to sit down and just watch the TV, I'm pretty sure I'll be full of butterflies.
All right, Kareem, thanks a lot for joining us and giving us some time. We definitely want to wish you luck, and I hope to hear your name called as soon as possible.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks, buddy. That is Kareem Jackson from the National Championship Alabama Crimson Tide. We are winding down on the show. And don't forget, go to NFLDraftBible.com and order that draft guide right now. Get that PDF. You will get it today, and you will have nothing else to do to fill your time up until the draft starts on Thursday, except, of course, Wednesday night. You got to check out the Football Spectacular Part 3. We will have live coverage for you over 10 hours. We will be on Twitter doing pick-by-pick analysis throughout the draft, all 7 rounds, all 255 picks. So be with us all week next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every day, all day long. Draft coverage from the NFL DraftBible.com. We hope you're with us.